Go ahead and have you turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings in chapter 11. Again, I count it a privilege and honor to be able to speak to you tonight, and don't take it lightly. I do want to thank Pastor for the opportunity to be able to speak and be able to open up the Word of God with you this evening. Speaking of Pastor, he did send me a text today. He wanted me to let you know that things are going well and that he says hello. And he was praying for us and for the service this evening. And so I hope and pray that you've been in prayer for them, for Pastor, for Brother and Mrs. Shrigalis. And it sounds like they've been, remember the text was they've been out pretty much every day and they've covered quite a bit of ground when it comes to passing out literature. And so praise the Lord for that. I know, if you remember, Brother Shrigalis had mentioned even several updates back that that they had ordered plenty of tracts, plenty of literature and materials for a group that was going to be with them before Pastor arrived, and then they'd have plenty for when Pastor's arrived. So sounds like they're doing pretty well. And so keep praying for them. There's a few more days. Personally, I'm looking forward to having Pastor back. You can probably ask Mrs. Weiss, and she's probably like, yes, come back. So don't ask Caleb. I just like to pick on him. But I know I'm personally looking forward to having him back. It's quiet without John over there. It's quiet without Pastor over there. Now, when I was gone for that week of camp, they're probably praising the Lord that Brother Pritchett was out of the office. It's too loud in there with that guy. It's too messy. Okay, yes. But I miss the noise. I miss having somebody else in the office. Now, my kids, they joined me one day, and so they made up for the entire week's worth of noise that has not happened in my office. So, I count it a privilege to be able to be here in front of you. And again, I thank Pastor for giving me this opportunity. You should be in 1 Kings chapter 11. I'm going to go ahead and read the first 11 verses of our text this evening. 1 Kings chapter 11, starting with verse number 1. The Bible says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. Then did Solomon build an high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives, which burnt incense and sacrificed unto their gods. And the Lord was angry with Solomon, because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, Forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant." This evening, just using this text, we're going to probably look at it just kind of a little bit of a different approach at this. We're not necessarily going to take a look at the wives and the gods that Solomon was serving, and nor that portion of it. But the part I want us to take focus on is, it's really twofold here. It's one, Solomon's heart. And then two, the priorities. His priorities, his heart and his priorities. Okay? So I'm going to focus on those two things tonight, his heart and his priority. And the title, if you're taking notes for this message, is simply this: How Things Can Change. How things can change. With our text this evening, we saw This is virtually the latter part of Solomon's life. And we see here that he has loved many women, many strange women. In fact, the Bible says he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. That's a lot of ladies. That's a lot of different schedules. That's a lot of different changes and priorities. A lot going on. Now, praise God, I have one wife, and we've got plenty to keep ourselves busy, schedule-wise, and just things and change. My wife, I'm gonna tease her and pick on her a little bit, but it's good. My wife is a nerd. All right, so one of you guys, I may be making a phone call tonight. You got an extra couch because Brother Pritch is probably gonna need it tonight. Actually, you know what? The office building is open. Maybe we'll just take care of that. There's a bed over there. No, my wife, she is lists, spreadsheet, schedule, the law in the house. I got up this morning and I looked at the schedule, just what we had written down, what we had to take care of this morning, and I said, "Thy word is law." The law of the wife is, I'm really going to get shot tonight. But, you know, the things that she writes down and just, that helps me because I tend to be that guy that shoot from the hip and here's the issue, we're going to figure it out as we go. Some days that doesn't work out so well. So it's nice to have a plan. It's nice to have a schedule. There are some in here that are better, men in here that are better than that than others. I'm on that other side. I'm not the better part. I'm on the other side. So I thank the Lord for my wife, where she has, there is a magnet board, and she just writes in it. So it's like, let's break out the peepers. Let's look at the schedule. Okay, we got this. But the reason why I say all of that is because it's a change for the better. Because it's trying to keep everything going in the same direction. Everybody's on the same page. And Lord willing, and heaven forbid that one kid decides to mess up the schedule. Watch out for mom. She's on the warpath. All right? She's lopping off heads. She's taking names and asking questions later. All right? And sometimes that happens to be me. All right? But it's those lists, the order, the scheduling, there's really a point behind it. It's, hey, priorities. This has to get taken care of. This has to get taken care of. You know, guys, like that honey-do list that tends to never end, and it seems like something else is getting tacked onto it, and then that gets put to the top of the pecking order, and then it's like, but what about this project? I haven't finished that yet. We're about halfway through. Well, that one's got to sit on the side. We're coming back to this. Oh, okay, here we go. But I think some of you might understand where we go with that. But anyway, priorities. Priorities being a good thing in the sense that you put things in the proper order. Now, we have here a very wise man. I mean, he is the wisest man that lived the earth. There was none like him before him. There was none like him after him. But he had an issue. Somewhere along the line, priorities got out of whack. And then we have what takes place here in 1 Kings chapter 11. And his wives had a part in that. But really, I believe it goes deeper than just the relationships, but it goes back to his heart. Who had his heart? What had his heart? But we do know one thing about his heart. And let's look at verse number 4. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise your name for this evening. I ask that you'd help us as we go through this message here this evening. I ask that you would guide and direct in it. Lord, guide and direct these words. that are spoken. Give utterance to your servant here this evening. I pray this in your name. Amen. So we're going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 2 and 3. We would find Solomon, who's really been given the reins now at this point. David has called for him to be king. He's sitting on David's throne. Solomon is a king of great understanding and full of wisdom. And I believe that's in part to listening and obeying his father's instruction. And for to know where true wisdom and discernment comes from. Proverbs 2:6 says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." In Proverbs 4, Solomon says to his son, "Hear the words that were given to me. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, get understanding." Solomon was a man who listened to his father and even carried out his admonition with great care. If you remember, David gave him strict orders. Here's how you deal with this individual, here's how you deal with this individual, and here's how you deal with this individual. And the Lord gave Solomon wisdom on how to handle each one of those issues, each one of those individuals. Some were banished, some were not necessarily exiled, but were taken out of their position of power and set aside. People else were put in, then heads were lopped off. But God, he had wisdom in how to handle those situations. He was a man who established a great kingdom upon the obedience of his earthly father and his heavenly father. He was a man who brought righteous justice upon the offenders of the crown and of God's law. His love was evident. Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 3. His love for God was evident. It was there. But my opinion, he wasn't in complete compliance with God. 1 Kings chapter 3. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only the people sacrificed in high places because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. So I believe that he loved God. And he wanted to do right, just as his father David had instructed him, as he'd given him, hey, this is what you should do. This is what you should ask God for. This is how you should live your life this way, and laid it out for Solomon. And I believe he had a love for God, but I don't think, personally, I don't believe he was in complete compliance with the law of God. And the fact that he married Pharaoh's daughter and that he was worshiping in those high places. Now I realize that the temple had been finished completely, I mean, because he was given that task to build the temple. But we find here that he was worshiping in those high places. We can get into a conversation about what those were, but I'm not going to, that's another time for another day. My thought is this, that as he was given command from the Lord, and we can see what command he was given by God in chapter 11, saying when God said, "Hey, you shall not go into these other nations and take their wives, neither shall they come unto you, for they will surely turn your heart away from their gods." Now, in 1 Kings chapter 3, we find him making affinity with Pharaoh. Nothing wrong with that. I mean, hey, we have peaceful relations here. But then we see the next step where he takes Pharaoh's daughter to himself. All right, well, there is a slight deviation from what is right. And I tend to think, and I put it in my own words this way, that a slight deviation from complete obedience, which if it's not complete obedience, it's disobedience, a slight deviation from complete obedience in the beginning will lead to a chasm of destruction in the end, unless it is otherwise repented and corrected. So I believe it was a start of a gradual slide down a slippery slope for King Solomon. Now, he did great things for God. Don't get me wrong. He did great things for God. He built the temple. He built up the walls around Jerusalem. But I believe we do have a small clue in the fact that he thought more of his own desires than he did of the Lord's. And let's go to 1 Kings chapter 6. 1 Kings chapter 6. The very last couple of verses there, we find something about Solomon. Verse 37. "In the fourth year was the foundation of the house of the Lord laid in the month Ziph, and in the 11th year in the month Bul, which is the eighth month, was the house finished throughout all parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it. So he was 7 years in building it." Okay, so it took 7 years to build the Lord's house. Well, let's look at the very next verse of 1 Kings in chapter 7. "But Solomon was building his own house 13 years, so twice as long. And he finished all his house. I tend to think that, I get it, there's a plan and a design for the Lord's house. And maybe that was all the time that he needed. But I still think that perhaps his desire was to have his own house built and spend a little more time, perhaps put a little more detail into his own home. It took 13 years in building. Now, take it for what it's worth. I was thinking about that number, but do you recognize or think about what that number 13 is or what it represents? If you think about numbers and numerology and that type of deal, but 13 is that number of rebellion. So perhaps there's a slight clue in there about Solomon. I can't guarantee this, but this is just my thought that perhaps he thought more highly of his own things than he did the things of God. I believe that Solomon's problem was in his priorities, and they were not established properly all the time. You see, in 1 Kings chapter 11, we get back over there at the end of his life, and really, if you're marrying 700 wives, and you've got all these princesses and all these younger minds, that's going on several years here. So there's perhaps plenty of time here where his priorities weren't where they should have been. So I believe he took his eyes off God and set them on his own desires. God no longer had the preeminence in his heart. In fact, Solomon's heart turned to temporal, earthly things. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes. Read through the book of Ecclesiastes. All the different things that he delved into, the old things, if I can put it this way, he experienced and experimented with. And really, when it all came back to it, he said, it's all vanity. Apart from God, it's all vanity. But I believe his heart had turned to temporal and earthly things. God had already warned Israel of what would happen should they marry marry people of the ungodly nations around them. They would turn their hearts would be turned from following after God, and they would eventually give their children over to those nations, and then their hearts would be turned from following after God, and then you've just got apostasy, if you will. Wise King Solomon foolishly fell to the temptations of the world and fell in love. The Bible says he clave in love with many women, which, as God said, led him to worship those false gods. Even a wise man can be considered a foolish man when he hears the words and commands of God and fails to comply and obey. Think of the wise man built his house upon the rock and the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The wise man hears, he sees, and he obeys. The foolish man, he hears as well. He may see as well, but still decides to build his house on temporal, fleshly things. Solomon, a man who with wisdom and understanding chose to indulge his fleshly lust and follow after his heart. The same heart his many wives turned away from serving the one true God. In fact, verses 3 and 4 of chapter 11 serve as an utter slap in the face to his heavenly father God and to his earthly father David, where it says, his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. And perfect meaning wholehearted, complete, single, if you will, in heart, as was the heart of his father, of David, his father. And then the Bible tells that Solomon proceeded to do the evil in the sight of the Lord and went fully not after his Lord. Solomon, again, a man used by God to do some great things, including building the temple, the building the walls. God was even glorified through the life of Solomon. In fact, many came to hear of his wisdom, and it was wisdom given to him by God. Many came to see his wealth given to him by God. Many came to see what God had done. All of this, God had done for Solomon. But unfortunately for Solomon, his wisdom could not keep him from foolishly turning his heart away from the one that gave him all he had. Now, folks, if the wisest man, the wisest individual apart from Christ had problems in many different areas, what's to say that we can't fall prey to those same things? Apart from God, we will. When not walking in the Spirit, not abiding in Christ, we will. When we're not dwelling with Him. You see, a heart that is perfect towards God, I believe, is the key to ordering our priorities. 1 Kings 8, verse 61. 1 Kings 8, 61. I hate to say ironically, but ironically, Solomon was the one who said these words after the temple had been built. His prayer of dedication, he says this to the children of Israel at 1 Kings 8, 61. Let your heart, therefore, be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. Solomon, what happened? What happened? A perfect heart towards God is one that walks in his statutes and keeps his commandment. So what does having that perfect heart toward God look like for us today? How about this? Let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 2. 1 Kings chapter 2. First thing I would say is just having faith in God and his word. Having faith in God and his word. David said to Solomon in his final words, verse 2, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God. For just think, when I was reading through this and studying, it reminded me of a couple of examples of following the Lord and following his command. We go back to, just for time's sake, I'll just mention this. If we go back to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter number 1, where Moses is telling this new generation what happened Numbers 14. What happened that the children of Israel had to wander the desert for 40 years, had to wander the wilderness for 40 years? In Numbers 13, it tells, we find Israel's unbelief, where they, in essence, instead of going into the promised land, remember the 12 spies, they come back after spying out the land of Canaan. Two of them, Caleb and Joshua, they give a great report, a good report, saying, hey, let's do this. Where the other 10 say, no, we cannot do this. In fact, we're grasshoppers in the sight of these giants in the land. You see, the Israel's put their welfare in themselves first rather than trusting God. They put them first instead of God first and God's command and God and his word. Caleb's faith places the onus on God to enable, and he put God first. And that's Numbers 13:30. In Numbers 14:24, we find that he followed God fully. And that was God's words to Moses, that Caleb followed me fully. Another example I think about when we talk about hearts that are perfect towards God, and that's in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, I think of Asa, where there is the large army, I believe it's a million-man army, a 1,000 army that came out of Ethiopia led by Zerah. The Bible says that when they saw that army, that there was fear. Let's see here, verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 16, and there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,300 chariots, and came unto Mereshah. Then Asa went out against them, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Mereshah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let no man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Now, if we fast forward some time here, we realize that Asa, in that moment, he was trusting God. He relied on God for the victory. We fast forward a little while later, and we find him under attack again. And the Bible says that he puts his trust in Ben-Hadad, I believe is that who that was, in Syria. And later, the prophet Hanani comes to Asa and rebukes him and says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Whose heart is perfect. That's whole. That's completely following him. That's single, if you will. The Lord is looking to show himself strong. Asa, at one point, trusted God and trusted that if he turned to God and relied on God, that God would help him. But then came another instance, much smaller army, much smaller opposition, Yet he turned to a man. And that was Asa's downfall. His priority went from trusting God to defeat the army to, I'm going to trust this guy over here, and then I'm not even going to worry about God. So even he got his priorities messed up. But having a perfect heart is one that wholly follows God. That's fully single in heart. See, Solomon, I believe he had a smart start. He followed his dad's charge. He followed his dad's instructions when dealing with people. He obeyed those instructions. He made a good choice. Bibles, we read about that he loved God and that he asked God for wisdom. I believe Solomon had faith in and adhered to his father's wise counsel, and it helped him greatly as long as he stuck to it. I believe it was when he would take his eyes and put them on the things of this world, those temporal things, those things that really didn't matter. And he got himself into some trouble. Vanity of vanities, he says in Ecclesiastes. It would serve us well to trust our Heavenly Father's wise counsel and stick to it. Psalm 1, 1 and 2. So what does having a perfect heart towards God look like? Well, it's simply starting having faith in God and His Word. Secondly, by walking in His ways. 1 Kings in chapter 2. David, again, continuing his final words to his son, says, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in His ways. To walk is to mean to live and to act or behave, to pursue a particular course of life. I go back and think of Caleb again in Joshua 14, when the Israelites have gone into the promised land. He comes to Joshua and he says, this day am I as strong as I was all those years before. Now he says, give me this mountain. But before he says, give me this mountain, let me remind you of what God said to Moses. That we fully, wholly followed God. Our heart was in line with what God said. Christians, we ought to walk in God's ways. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. 1 John chapter 2, go over there quickly. 1 John 2, we'll look at 1 John 2 and then 2 John chapter 1. 1 John 2. 1 John 2. And hereby we do know Him, this is verse number 3, and hereby we do know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk as He walked. 2 John chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. This is the apostle writing to, as he addresses the elect lady and her children. So I believe that may be a church that he's writing to. But he says, and I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is the commandment that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. But walk in God's ways. And then lastly, completely comply to God's standard. Back to 1 Kings chapter number 2. 1 Kings chapter number 2. And the last portion of what David said to Solomon. So he said, and keep the charge of the Lord thy God. That's having faith in God and His word. Walk in His ways. And lastly, he says, to keep His statutes and His commandments and His judgments and His testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. That reminds me of, you can write this down, you can probably quote it, but it reminds me of Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. And it goes on to say that thou shalt observe and do all that is written therein, that thou mayest have good success. That means prosper. So I know I'm paraphrasing there, but that's Joshua 1:8. James, you can write these verses down. James 1:22 through 25. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And it references the perfect law of liberty, which we look into, and that reveals to us, are we in complete compliance, if you will? Are we lining up, if you will? Are we walking in God's steps, in God's ways? And if not, why not? But completely comply to God's standard. We have been given instructions on how to live. 1 Peter 3, 8 through 17. We ought to choose to love God. I believe Solomon had that choice to love God or not. We too have that same choice to make constantly. We're bombarded with enough things in this day and age, whether it's on social media, whether it's television, even radio for that matter. Just walk up and down the streets. There's enough signs. There's enough stuff going on around that it's, man, Lord, help me, please. Help my eyes, my ears, my feet, my hands. Just, Lord, help me, guide me, direct me. I need your help. May you be first. We are completely complying to God's standards is having his priorities be our priorities. Micah 6, verse 8. Micah 6, verse 8. You don't have to turn there. Many of you can quote that here. Next, I'll read verse 7. Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? So, in essence, think about sacrifice there. Or, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? Hasn't God given you what we should do? Hasn't he told us what we should do? God's not pleased with our sacrifices if we're not obeying him in the first place. He told the Israelites and the priests, take that out of here. Get that out of here. I want you to obey, and I want your heart to be right with me. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 22, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. I realize I'm paraphrasing there. As a Christian, in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul admonishes the Christians to walk as children of light. In Ephesians chapter 6, he talks about putting on the whole armor of God. In Romans chapter 13, which I'm going to turn there, Romans 13, verse number 12, goes along with that, the armor of God. It says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Do you sense that there's a theme where how our priorities ought to start? Otherwise, there's going to be a change, and it's not going to be a change for the better. See, folks, having a pure heart, a perfect heart toward God look like? Been implied this entire time, and it's simply this: putting God first. You want the presence of God on you? You want the power of God on you? Or presence of God with the power of God on you? Put him first. Truly recognizing God and his ways as first priority in our lives will cause the other areas in our lives to fall in place. Abiding in him is another way to look at it in John 15. Mixing up our priorities by not putting God first can cause some major headaches, just as at home, if I get out of line with my wife's schedule, my wife's plan, someone's going to have a headache. Someone's just going to be bigger than the others. We'll just leave it at that, and you can figure out whose headache is going to be bigger than the others. But God blesses when we follow what he says, and we're truly off better that way. See, we are called to love God, serve people, and use money. But oftentimes, we use people, we serve money, and we neglect God. Our priorities are out of whack. We can't control the length of our life, this is one another writer has put, but you can have something to say about its width and its depth. In other words, we don't know how much time we have here, but in the meantime, let's make sure our priorities, let's make sure God is first in all that we say, think, and do. And then everything else come behind that. Solomon was on a slippery slope when his priorities were not what they should have been. And sin does that. It leads downward. James 1, 14 and 15. And then, as we know in 1 John 2, it says, love not the things of the world. Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, did leave us with some words to keep in mind. And this is the last scripture we'll look at. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. He did leave us a priority list at the end of Ecclesiastes in chapter 12. Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, that's put God first, and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Boy, what a change in Solomon's life when his heart and mind when his heart was not perfect with God, following God. Again, wise man, wisest man. What's to say that those same areas can't affect us even today? Put God first. He needs to be at our priority list all the time.